We're paddling with Ken Allen of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, talking about the Great Hudson River Paddle and a vision for a Hudson River water trail. To learn more about anything you hear on this program, visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Coming up on the Hudson River, the Eco Calendar, a soundscape of the river, and more. Next, we'll continue with our interview of Allen. He'll tell us his favorite parts of the river, and we'll learn a valuable lesson about paddling on it.
Now, what about the how do motorized craft figure here?
Well, boaters are boaters, and like any other interest group, they tend to look out for each other, and I think as long as they respect each other to their own right, everything's just fine. We as kayakers realize that we're small and slow, and sometimes relatively difficult to see.
Well, where does it end? I mean, do you have people coming in on Boston Whalers? How do you control the usage?
Well, the water trail is designed for everybody, but it is predominantly being designed for small, hand-launched boaters, meaning canoes, kayaks, maybe even small sailing skiffs.
And non-motorized.
Non-motorized. But that's not to say that certain areas would not be accessible to motorized boaters.
Right.
We're not trying to preclude them. But on the same token, the water trail itself is being designed with minimal impact to the environment. And that means as far as even landing the boats, you know, we can land pretty much anywhere without creating a disturbance. Whereas a mechanized boat would need to moor, need a mooring, need a slippage,
right,
or something.
And like I mean, that. If someone wanted to do this in a small boat with just a small outboard, say, marina facilities are sufficiently spaced out and available for them to do that between New York and Albany?
Yes, there are.
So they're covered already. Whereas paddlers are not.
Right. But on that note, some of the marinas actually have shown interest in opening up to the paddling community. Some have said that, yes, well, we have showers, we have an area that we might even be able to let one or two people camp.
Now, let's talk about the paddle itself. And what are some of the challenges that you face as a guide and as a planner?
Well, mostly it's group dynamics. You're bringing people together from all over. We've got folks from Iowa, we've got folks from New York City, we have folks from upstate New York, from Vermont. But when you have a diverse group, that also creates very interesting group dynamics. You never know what you're going to be dealing with. So you just hope that you get a good cohesion amongst that group and they act as a good unit. Just getting these people together, getting them to understand what it is that we're trying to do, seeing that melting together and how they work together, that's probably the biggest challenge. The next thing is keeping them motivated over long days.
Right.
Because most of them really don't have long river mileage days.
Right.
We weren't expecting people to be experts. We have people that are not quite beginners, you know, but a real low-level intermediates, all the way up to people like myself who have done considerable paddling.
Right.
So we have a full gamut, and that's the beauty of this sport, is you can take it as small or as big as you want to, depending upon what your attitude towards the water is and how much time you have and how many other things you're involved with.
What about favorite stretches of the river? You must know it very well.
The stretch of the river that is my favorite we're actually on right now, this is my home turf. I live here in Statsburg, and it's a great little hamlet. But from pretty much Saki down, we see a lot of bald eagles in that region, from Saki down to Socrates. In fact, I think we saw to the tune of 18 or 19 this trip. And it's nice to see the quality of the river coming back a little bit and seeing the eagles coming back and other wildlife. But from here all the way down through the Hudson Highlands is my favorite spot. Mm-hmm. You get to view the Catskill Mountains. You get all the little islands running in between, and then you come into the highlands, which is like running through a fjord. It's very beautiful.
We've talked about the trail,
yep.
But how do you see the paddle growing?
The organization of putting together two trips in 1 year would be absolutely huge.
Yeah.
You know, there was two of us working. Excuse me, just a second. Ben's on.
You know, you haven't gone anywhere in the past 15 minutes.
We were just noticing that.
This is one of my other guides, and he is definitely a lot of flavor to our unit here. Yes, Mark, thank you very much. Things clear. He's just making comment to the fact that the current is pushing us and we're paddling against it at the same speed, not going anywhere. I'm sorry, where were we?
No, that's okay. Are there other things that you'd like to say?
No, I'd just like to encourage people to definitely take a look at your river. It is your river. Come out and enjoy it. See what it's about. Read about it. Look into its history. Become active with it. There's a lot of things about the river that are not necessarily water-related. You can go and see all these little, tiny, somewhat coastal communities. Check them out. They're really cool. It's almost like you'd expect to be on the ocean when you visit some of these places.
Okay, I think I might apply for next year.
Come on along. We'd love to have you.
We've been paddling with Ken Allen of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. To learn more about anything you hear on this program, visit us at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu.
From the Almanac, June 4th, 1999. Sleitsburg Spit, Hudson River Mile 90. The season's water chestnut hadn't yet encroached on the shallows enough to block views of sunfish nests and the activity around them. A spit of land uncovered at low tide allowed close approach to the nests in the shallowest water. Male pumpkin seed and redbreast sunfish guarded closely spaced, roughly circular patches of gravel and stones cleared of sediment and ooze. They were understandably skittish in the foot-deep, clear water, given the presence of two great blue herons on the flats south of the spit. Males in adjacent nests challenged each other, flaring their gill covers to show off opercular flaps. The fish take their guard duties seriously, sallying forth to assail wandering sunnies, golden shiners, even a passing carp. The carp were also spawning in the shallows, creating great commotion as they thrashed about in thick patches of water chestnut. Adopting the still pose of the herons for long minutes also reveals less obvious fish, an 8-inch eel nosing about on the bottom, and killfish darting from the shelter of one water chestnut rosette to the next. Unfortunately, I cannot hold that pose as long as Great Blues can, and as I move, the fish scatter. This observation was contributed by Steve Stan. I'm Sean Anderson.
The Hudson River Almanac is an annual natural history journal compiled from the contributions of over 1,700 volunteers. Links on how to contribute materials or obtain copies are at www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu.
Time for the Hudson River Eco Calendar. I'm Jen Logan. The Hudson Riverama is a new permanent exhibition at the Hudson River Museum in Yonkers. The 2,500-square-foot installation features recreations of forest, marsh, and estuary ecosystems, live fish, interactive computers, videos, and a 31-foot-long, three-dimensional topographic model of the river valley. An associated 45-minute planetarium show joins two families on an Adirondack hiking trip as they learn about the Hudson's flora and fauna. For more information, call 914-963-4550. That's 914-963-4550. But if you feel like actually getting out on the river, the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve is sponsoring a series of canoe trips to some of the river's biggest marshes in New York State. These include Stockport Flats, a mosaic of islands and coves in Columbia County, Iona Island nestled at the base of Bear Mountain in Rockland County, Tivoli Bay, and extensive marshes in Dutchess County. Trips are free and open to the public, though reservations are required. And you needn't have your own boat, as canoes, paddles, and safety gear are all provided. For more information, call the Hudson River National Estuarine Research Reserve at 845-758-7016. That's 845-758-7016.
Next week, we speak with Dr. Mark Bain about sturgeon, huge prehistoric-looking fish of the Hudson River that are known as a source of caviar. And folk singer Jerry Rasmussen tells us about Living on the River, a song often heard at Hudson River Hootenannies that is, in fact, not about the Hudson. All this and more on the Hudson River. The marina at Norrie State Park in Statsburg is the site for this week's Hudson River soundscape. The recording, made very early in the morning, recalls a symphony warming up. Listen for the sounds of boats creaking from gentle wave action while tree swallows chatter as they go about their acrobatic breakfast. The Hudson River Radio program is produced in association with Vassar College, its Environmental Studies program, and its Journalism Forum. Our student assistant producers are digital editor Sean Anderson and researcher and editor Batsheva Gez. Professor Randy Cornelius is the project director. I'm your host, Mark Breslov, producer and project manager. This project has been funded in part by a grant from the New York State Environmental Protection Fund through the Hudson River Estuary Program. Special thanks to Fran Dunwell and Steve Stan of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Additional support for this program comes from Vassar College, with thanks to Susan Kuiper. Thanks also to Steve Rath. To listen to this program again or for more information, visit www.hudsonriver.vassar.edu. Email us at hudsonriver@vassar.edu.
Good morning, Brother Hudson, I hate to see you die. I can feel you crying deep way down inside. There is a conspiracy to kill you, and I know that it's true. They can't tell their little white lies, they know not what they do. Birds up in the air, they can't hardly fly. Jet planes are cruising and polluting everywhere. Those that are responsible for it, they don't give a damn. They're treating our natural resources as another Vietnam. So, good morning, Brother Hudson, I hate to see you die. I can feel you crying deep way down inside. There is a conspiracy to kill you, and I know that it's true. They can't tell their little white lies, they know not what they do. Big businesses are planted all along your grassy banks. Toilet chains of pools all day, dispersing all their stench. They live way out in the suburbs with their Cadillacs red and pink. While the water in the city's not fitting to shower, shave, or drink. So, good morning, Brother Hudson, I hate to see you die. I can feel you crying deep way down inside. There is a conspiracy to kill you, and I know that it's true. They can't tell their little white lies, they know not what they do. They lay away out in the suburbs while the rivers go to death. But all that chemical pollution and the residues is left. But a great big mansion and a princess telephone can't save you from the deathbed when the oxygen is gone. So good morning, Brother Hudson, we're not gonna let you die. Because we feel you crying deep way down inside. There is a conspiracy to kill you, and we know that it's true. They can't tell their little white lies, they know not what they do.